Good morning, everybody. This is truly a very big honor for two reasons. Number one, I myself have enjoyed coming to Midrashat Yom Rishon and learning from the beautiful words of Torah that have emanated from this very podium. But more importantly, I find that the most important thing about Midrashat Yom Rishon is watching all of you come out on a Sunday morning to be able to be la'asok b'divrei Torah, to start your week with Torah, and just the mere fact of coming together with so many women to be able to learn together and to be able to start off our week with Torah is something that's truly inspiring, invigorating, and it's truly a great honor to be here this morning to be able to learn together with you. I believe it was the famous Yogi Berra that said, "When you come to a fork in the road, take it." And I truly find that very often in life, we are constantly at crossroads, forks in the road, where we are looking to see whether we choose one way or another, and how one choice will lead us down a path and particularly change our destiny based on the choices that we make. As a high school teacher, I could tell you specifically at this part of the year, I find that many of my conversations with my students, specifically 12th graders, are often questioning, what do I do next year? Do I go to Israel for a year? Do I pursue higher forms of education? What happens if I make the wrong choice? What happens if I choose something and let go of an opportunity? What will that ultimately look like? And the innocence of that choice is something that somewhat inspires me to think that it's the beginning of their journey of making choices. As we all know, as life goes on and continues to move forward, we're constantly making choices like that. What career paths do we take? Which opportunities do we grasp and which opportunities do we let go? When trying to build a family, even dating, how do we know that this one is the one? When we are building our own families, which communities do we live in? And how do we make those decisions knowing that our choices have lasting effects not only for ourselves, but really for future generations as well? Sometimes it's even the decision of trying to think about, out of the 87,000 flavors at Starbucks, which one am I choosing and how is it going to affect my day today? Constantly choosing and constantly thinking about our choices. We don't have to look very far. As I've been trained by my parents and my teachers, whenever we need guidance and whenever we need some inspiration, looking at the Tanakh itself, looking at the text itself, will often take us into the places that we need to go. And so we don't have to look very far, but rather, just looking at this week's Parsha, Parsha Toldot, we are seen with a tremendous crossroads. Here we have a father who approaches his two sons, who perhaps could not be more different. And so he's about to impart a bracha on his beloved son, to pass on his legacy to his son that will require a tremendous responsibility and obligation. And the complexity of the situation is truly enthralling. And yet, at that very moment, the mother of these two sons decides to intervene, recognizing that this is a crossroads, recognizing that as the bracha is about to be imparted and one of these sons is about to be given that special opportunity, it's not the right one, and she has to make the choice, she has to make the decision to turn around fate, to be able to say that we need to use our actions in order to make sure that the right son is ensured the bracha and that the fate of the Jewish people continues on in the proper path. And somehow she musters up the courage, somehow she has some inspiration that allows her to make such a daring move. Fascinating to think about, what is it? What was it about Rivka that was allowing her to say, this has to change, I need to make a difference? What gave her the courage? How was she able to use her personal insight, the knowledge that she courageously decides to switch the son of Yitzchak's choice with her own son, her son Yaakov, as a choice, hopefully ensuring the destiny of the Jewish people to go in the proper path? So I would like to study this morning with you Perek Chav Zayin of Parsha Toldot, as you see in your source sheets provided for you. And what I'd ask you to do as we read through this Perek is that so often in Tanakh, every story that we read has tremendous amounts of echoes of previous stories that came before. So I'll ask that you do not cheat and look ahead at the source sheet, but just let the words do the talking and try to see if it's possible for you to hear what echoes of this story make us or remind us of a story that came before. So here we start in Bereshit, Perek Chav Zayin. Vayhi ki zaken Yitzchak v'techena einav mir'ot v'yikra et Esav b'no hagadol v'yomer elav b'ni v'yomer elav hineni. Yitzchak, with his eyes dimmed, unable to see clearly, calls up his oldest son and he says, hineni, I'm here for you, father. V'yomer hinei zakanti lo yadati yomuti. He says, I do not know the day of my death. V'ata sana kelecha tilecha v'kashtecha v'seh hasadeh v'suda lisayin. Go, do what you know how to do. Take your weaponry, take the things that you need for hunting, and go out to the fields and bring me sayid venison. And prepare it in the way that I love, and bring it to me so that I can eat, and then I can bless you before I die. V'rifka shomaat b'diber Yitzchak el Esav b'no. And Rifka over here is that which Yitzchak says to her son Esav. And she says, Haviali Sayyid, I'm sorry. Vishmat Yitzchak b'no v'yedech asav asadel esud sayyid le'avi. She sees the plan in which Yitzchak asked Esav to do. V'rifka amra el Yaakov b'na. And so Rifka takes charge, and she goes to her son Yaakov le'mor, saying, Hinei shamati et avicha midaber el Esav achicha le'mor. Listen to me, because I've heard what your father has told your brother. Heviya li sayid ve'aseli mita'amim ve'ochela v'avracha lifnei Hashem lifnei moti. Bring me the sayid so that I can prepare it in the way that your father loves, so that he may bless you before God, before his death. Va'atabani, and now my son, shma b'koli. Listen to my voice, la'asher ani mitzave otach, everything which I command you. Lechna alatzon v'kachli misham shnei gidiya yizim tovim v'esa otam mita'amim la'viyecha kasher ahev. And I will prepare them in the way that your father loves, and you will bring it to him. V'havita li'aviyecha v'acha b'avur asher v'aracha lefnei moto. And ultimately you will bring it to him so that he may bless you before he dies. V'yomer Yaakov. And Yaakov responds to his mother, Rivka imo. Hei nesav achi ish seir v'anuch ish chalak. But Ima, don't you know this is going to be a faulty plan? He doesn't look like me. We don't feel the same. He is hairy and I'm smooth skinned. What if this whole plan backfires? And instead, I will bring curse upon myself and not bracha. And she says, my son, your curse will be upon me. The only thing, shma b'koli, listen to my voice, go and take as I have told you. Vayelach, and so Yaakov goes, vayikach, and he takes, vayavimo, and he brings to his mother, vitaasimo mitaamim asher kasher ahav aviv, and they prepare it in the way that Yitzchak likes it. Vitikach Rivka at big day Esav, and Rivka then takes the clothing of Esav. Bina hagadol hachamudot asher itaba bayit, his beloved possessions, those clothing that is in the house, and she dresses her son Yaakov bina hakatan, her smaller son. Vitorot gidei izim, and they are the skins of the gidei izim. Halya basha, she dresses al yadav, on his hands, viat chalak sevarav, and on his neck, and now he is prepared to go to fulfill this plan. V'titein hamita'amim v'chol alacham asher asa biyad Yaakov bana, and so he brings to his father the food that she has prepared and the lachem. V'yavol aviv, and so Yaakov now imposing as Esav comes to his father, v'yamor avi, says, father, v'yomer hineni, I am here, my son. Mi ata b'ni? Who are you, my son? V'yomer Yaakov el aviv. And so Yaakov says to his father, Anochi Esav, v'chorech asita kasher dibarta elai. I am Esav. I have done what you've said. Kumna shva v'achla misdei b'avor tevarcheni nafshecha. Eat so that you can then bless my soul. V'yomer Yitzchak et b'no, mazeh maharata l'msobni. Amazing, my son. So fast you found the food. V'yomer, he responds, ki kra Hashem elokecha lefanai. God is before me and God has helped me. V'yomer Yitzchak el Yaakov. And Yitzchak says to Yaakov, G'shana v'mshucha b'niyata ze b'ni Esav imlo. Says, come, my son, come close to me so that I may be able to touch you to see my son if this is Esav or not. And clearly in the text we are not sure if whether or not Yitzchak is onto the plan or not onto the plan. But Yaakov does as his father wishes. V'yigash Yaakov el Yitzchak. And Yaakov approaches Yitzchak. And so Yitzchak calls out, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'ayadayim yidei Esav. The voice is the voice of Yaakov, but the hands are the hands of Esav. But he did not recognize him, so the hands were hairy, and so he felt this was Esav, and so he blessed. Vayomer, ataze bni Esav, vayomer ani. Says, is this my son Esav? He says, it's I. Vayomer higashali veochla mitzayid bni laman tavarecha nafshi vigashlo veochavi avelo yain viyash. And he eats and he blesses. Vayomer alav Yitzchak aviv gashana ushkali bni, come to me and kiss me, my son. Vayigash veishaklo, and so Yaakov comes close and kisses him. Vayarach et reyach, and he is able to smell the smell begadav of his clothing. Vivarcheu, and he blesses. Vayomer re'e reyach, I could see the smell bni kireyach hasadeh, of the smell of the field. Asher barchu Hashem, that Hashem has blessed. V'yitein lecha Elokim mital shamayim mushmanei haaretz varov dagam v'tirosh. And he is blessing him with all the fat and all the good of the land. Avducha amim, v'yishtachavu lecha ulaumim, havei gvir la'achacha v'yishtachavu lecha. And he's being blessed, b'nei amecha ororacha aror ovaracha mebaruch, and all those who curse you and will be cursed, and all those who bless you will be blessed. And in no other way to make this more dramatic, v'hi kasher kila Yitzchak levareich, as he is just finishing to bless his son Yaakov, v'hi ach yotzei yatzan, he's leaving one exit, Meit pnei Yitzchak, from his father Yitzchak, his father, v'esav achiv, Esav his brother, enters, ba mitzedo, from another exit. And the two's destinies are just crossing in this moment of tremendous drama. V'yaz gamhu mitamim ve'yavei la'aviv, and Esav also prepared the food accordingly as his father wanted. V'yomer la'aviv yakum avi, come my father, get up. V'ochal mitzayid b'no ba'avur tavarcheni nafshi, and so you should eat and then you should bless me. V'yomer lo Yitzchak, and Yitzchak, his father, says, Miata, but who are you? V'yomer, ani bin chabachorecha Esav, I am your son, your oldest Esav. V'charad Yitzchak, charada gedola. It's at this moment that Yitzchak has tremendous fear. Ad me'od, v'yomer mi'afohu asad sayid, v'yavo li, v'ocha mikol b'terem, but someone has already come. T'avo v'varchein, I've already blessed him. Gam baruch yeh, and so he shall continue to be blessed. Kishmo Esav et divrei aviv, and as Esav heard these words of his father, v'yitzak sa'aka gedola, he screams out to Mara ad me'od and is tremendously embittered by the situation. V'yomer la'aviv, and he screams out to his father, barcheini, gamani aviv, bless me too, father. V'yomer ba'achich mirmavi kach b'chasacha, my brother has come and tricked me yet again and taken my bracha. V'yomer hachi karashimo, isn't it appropriate as we call him Yaakov in our house here? Ve'verin zepamayin, he's already tricked me twice. He has stolen bechorati, my eldest status, lakach v'hinei ata lakach berchati, and now he's also taken my bracha. V'yomer lo, atzalti libracha, is there no bracha for me? V'yan Yitzchak, and Yitzchak answers, there is, and he gives him the bracha, samativ lach et kol achiv natati lo lavadim v'dagan v'tiros samachtiv v'locha afo ma'ase b'ni. V'yomer Esav el aviv, habracha achat hi lecha avi barchim, gam ani avi. V'yisa Esav kolo, Vayavich, knowing that he's missed the opportune bracha and only he's gotten the second rate bracha, he raises his voice and he cries. Vayan Yitzchak aviv v'yomer elav, hinei mishmanei aret yeh mushavecha motal ha-shamayim ma'al v'yal charbacha tiyeh v'chol achicha ta'avod v'haya kasher tarid uvarakta olo me'olo sivaracha v'yosh teisav et Yaakov al ha-bracha asher barcho aviv v'yomer esav b'libo yikruvu yimei evel aviv v'hargah et Yaakov achiv. And ultimately, even though Esav does get blessed, he realizes the hatred in his heart, and he says to himself, the days of my father's death are quickly approaching. At that opportune moment, then I'll kill my brother. V'ugad l'Rivka, and Rivka is somehow informed of this plan, v'na ha-gadol, for her older son, v'tishlach, and she sends v'tikra li-Yaakov, and calls to her younger son, Yaakov. V'tomer alav, hine Esav achicha mitnachem l'chal ha-argecha. He wants to kill you. Atavini, now my son, shma v'koli. Listen to my voice. V'kum barach, get up and run. L'cha elavan achi, to my brother Lavan in Haran. V'yishavtav yimo yamim yichadim ad asher teshuv chamat achicha. Stay there many days until the anger of your brother will subside. Ad shuv af achicha mimecha v'shakach et asher asita lo v'shalachti v'lakachti misham lama eshkol gam shneichem yom echad. And why should it be that I should lose two sons in one day? Go until the time is right, until angers have subsided. V'tomer Rivka al Yitzchak, kasti b'chayam ipnei b'notchet. I'm annoyed and I can't take this anymore of the benot chet, which Esav had married. Why should Yaakov marry these same women? Send him away to find a proper wife. Right, not from a benot chet, ke'ila benot ha'aretz, lama li chayim. Why should I be alive if he should take a wife here? And so concludes Perek Chav Zayin. And what's interesting about this parak, obviously not only the drama of having Yitzchak wanting to bless Esav and the switch that Rivka initiates in order for Yaakov to take that bracha, but as I said before, each parak of Tanakh has some echo of a previous parak earlier. And what's fascinating, in an article I read in Tradition, the echo here, and many echoes have been mentioned, some of the Akedah and some in other places in Tanakh, but what's fascinating is perhaps the echo of Gan Eden. And how do we see Gan Eden, the story of Gan Eden, play out in this parak? Well, we see, if you look at source number 2, we see that the Nachash makes a speech that is actually very similar to that of what the intro to this parak is all about. We see that in source number 2, Hanachash haya arum mikol chayat hasadeh, that the Nachash is the most cunning of animals, and is part of the Chayat HaSadeh, the animals of the field. Similar to that of our introduction earlier in our Parsha, of Esav being an Ish Sadeh, of being a man of the field. Asher asa Hashem Elokim vayomer el ha'isha, in the story of Gan Eden, Gam Hashem says to the Isha, Afkamar Elokim, lo tochu mikol et hagan. We know that Adam and Chava are commanded not to eat from the fruits of the trees in Gan Eden. V'tomar Yisha l'Nachash, and when the Nachash approaches and says, can you not eat from any of the trees? The Yisha responds to the Nachash, Mipri Eitz Hagan Uchal, we are able to eat from all the trees. Except, Mipri Eitz Asher B'toch Hagan, except from one tree in the middle of the Gan. Lo tochlu m'menu v'lo tigubo, we're not supposed to eat it or touch it. Pen tamutu, for then we shall die. And now the Nachash speech has an interesting whisper in our story here in Parsha Toldot. V'yomer ha-Nachash el ha-Isha. The Nachash says to the Isha, Lomo tamut, you will not die. Ki odeya Elokim, ki biyom achalchem imenu v'nifkechu einechem. For the day that you will eat, your eyes will be opened. V'yitem kelokim yodeya tovara. And you will be like God, knowing good and bad. V'teireh ha-Isha ki tova eitz l'machal. And here the woman sees that it's good and pleasing, and she takes from the fruit, and ultimately she gives to her husband, and they eat. Here in our parak, so interesting, Yitzchak thinks he knows the day of his death. The word yom yom moti, the concept of yada, of knowing, the idea of the sadeh, the idea of eating before giving over the bracha. And here, in the story of Gan Eden, eating, perhaps before Klala, is introduced into the world. And so what we might suggest here is that there is a mirror story going on between the story of Gan Eden and the story of the bracha, a giving of the bracha from Yitzchak to Yaakov. We see other parallels as well. Not on your sheet here, but the introduction to our Parsha, Eilo Todos Yitzchak ben Avraham, and the story of Gan Eden starts, Ve'ele Todos HaShamayim Va'aretz. Story of generation, story of Toldot, once again highlight perhaps another parallel between the two stories. We also see parallels between characters. If you look at source number 3, in the next Perek, when Rivka sends away her son Yaakov, the Pasuk says, Ve'yishlach Yitzchak et Yaakov, V'yelach padana aram elavan ben betuel ha'arami, achi Rivka aim Yaakov ve'esav. The only time in the Torah, the second time in the Torah, that the Torah uses the title aim, is right here. The first, being back in Parshat Bereshit, when we learn about Chava, and she gets a new name, for her real name was Isha, but after the sin, Adam renames her, Vayikra ha'adam shem ishto Chava, ki hi haita aim kol chai. She is the mother of all living. And in an interesting Rashi, actually, in our Parsha, he actually says he does not know why she is called Aim Yaakov Esav. And in the act of humility, Rashi makes that comment, perhaps inspiring us that we might not know all the answers. But maybe today we would like to suggest that Aim Yaakov Esav is once again an echo for us to be reminded that of which the title was given first, to Chava, Eim Kol Chai. We also see other interesting parallels in source number 5, where Adam and Chava sin, and now their eyes are opened. And so they see that they are naked and they want to hide and they feel embarrassed, they feel ashamed. And so what does Hashem do? Vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam u'l'ishto kitunot or vilbashem. He makes them clothing of skin and he dresses them. What's fascinating in our story is part of the scheme and part of the process of getting this bracha is in source number 6. V'tikach Rivkat Bigdei Esav. The clothing of Esav, Benah Gadol HaChamudot Asher Itah B'Bayit V'Tilbesh Et Yaakov Benah HaKatan V'Eit Orot Kidei HaYizim HaYibasha. Skin clothing, once again, are used to be put onto Yaakov in order to get this blessing. There is a famous midrash as well. What are these clothings that are so beloved to that of Esav? And the midrash tells us that these are actually the clothing of Adam HaRishon. Adam got clothed by Hashem, used those clothing, and then passed them on from generation to generation. They had been taken by Nimrod, and in Esav, in his killing spree, killed Nimrod, took the clothing, and they were his prized possession. Clearly, the Midrash is being sensitive again to these mirrors and parallels between our story in Toldot and the story of Gan Eden. And so the Midrash will even make the connection that these very clothing in which Yaakov is wearing in order to pretend he is Esav in order to get the bracha are in fact even the clothing that we see that Adam HaRishon was given to by Hashem. Of course, please. A 100%. And I think that ultimately we're going to have to ask the question, if there are parallels and there are a tremendous amount of interchange between the two, so the question then has to become, what does the Tanakh, what does Hashem want to teach us by paralleling two particular stories with the same literary technique? Very often, Torah Shebiktav is not going to be able to have an actual teacher teach us, but if the text itself parallels or gives us words of interest that parallel one another, perhaps the Tanakh is saying, study me together so that I can develop an idea and I could show you that exact what story number 1 and story number 2 actually have to be intertwined together. So if I don't do a good job at the end, you'll let me know if I don't put together the two ideas, but that is definitely where we are headed towards. The idea of why it is that the story of Gan Eden has to be paralleled and why the textual interconnections between Gan Eden and the story of Parshat Toldot. And so if I just may, just for a few more examples, even if you're not 100% yet convinced that there are literary techniques between these two Parshiot, one more before we go, and this perhaps is the most compelling, is that if you look at sources 7, 8, and 9, there's another theme that develops here which is very interesting. The theme of voice. And if you look throughout the story in Perek Chav Zayin of Rivka, she says no less than 3 times to her son, Shma b'ni b'koli. Listen, my son, to my voice. Now the thing about the voice is that where does voice come up in the first place in Tanakh? And so I couldn't be making it up other than there has to be a significant connection. But the place that we first see voice, we see it come up in Bereshit, in the story of Gan Eden. And if you look at verse number 7, what does it say? V'yishmu'u et kol Hashem Elokim mithalech bagan. And interestingly enough, we see that as Adam and Chava have sinned, and now they are hiding and they are ashamed of what they have done, they hear the voice of Hashem walking in the garden. L'ruach hayom v'yitchabeh Adam v'yishto mipnei Hashem Elokim betoch. It's Hagan. Not only that, the theme of voice continues in the story of Gan Eden. Vayomer et kolecha shamati began. When Hashem calls out, Ayeka Adam, where are you? What does Adam respond? Et kolecha shamata, I heard your voice, God. Ve'iran, I was scared, ki arum, because I was naked, anochi ve'chaveh, and so I went to go hide. And lastly, the third time in Parsha Bereshit where the voice comes up is actually in a negative tone here. Ula Adam Amar, and so when Adam is being reprimanded for what he did, Amar, Kishamata Lekol Ishtecha, because you listened to the voice of your wife, tochal min ha'etz, and you ate from the tree, asher sivisicha le'mor, which I have commanded you not, lo tochal mimenu, to eat from, arura ha'adama ba'avuracha v'tzavon v'tochalna kol yimei chayacha. And it will be that the ground will be cursed because of you, and you will have to work and toil over it because you ate from it. And so I don't think it is a coincidence that the three times in our story, the word kol comes up, and the first time that we see the word kol in the Torah is in Parsha Bereishit in regards to Hashem's voice, and even the admonishment of Adam listening to the voice of his wife. And so now it only begs the question further, what is this connection? What is the connection between Gan Eden and Parsha Toldot, and what is the connection of voice here with Rivka asking her son to listen to her voice? So it's interesting. There are many different ways of perhaps looking at this particular and suggesting many different ideas. But if I may just make a few suggestions as to what I think the connections are by looking at the connection of Gan Eden and Toldot, and specifically voice, I think that we will find an interesting lesson that could reverberate and perhaps whisper in our own ears to the concept here of voice and choice. There seems to be a negative association with the concept of voice at the end of Parsha Bereishit. And yet, in Parsha Toldot, it seems to be a positive. Rivka beseeches her son, Shema b'koli, listen to my voice, my son. And where does that turnaround take place? Where is it that at the first time that we see God recognize voice, it's a negative? Ki shamata et kolacha b'ishtecha, because you listen to the voice of your wife, then you have brought punishment upon the world. Where is that switch? Where is that choice? Where is that difference? And so what's interesting, if you look at source number 10, the first time that we see a reversal of voice is that which our matriarch Sarah teaches us. Abram has two sons, Yishmael, and has a wife, Hagar. And as Yitzchak is born, and now Sarah sees that it's not a good influence for her son, she decides that it's important to send him and his mother away. And this is not something that appeals to Abram. V'yirah ha'davar me'od b'enei Abraham al adod b'no. V'yomer elokim al Abraham al yirah b'einecha el anar. Don't let this be a bad thing in your eyes concerning the lad. V'al amatacha and his mother. Kol asher tomer elecha Sarah, shma b'kola. All in which Sarah says to you, listen to her voice, ki b'yitzchak yikara lecha zera. Because it is Yitzchak who will come to take on your future. And if you look at Sarah and you think about that with Chava, you think about also mirror opposites. What is Chava renamed? Or I should say her name is Isha. What is she renamed? Chava, because she is Aim Kol Chai. Sarah, when introduced to us for the first time back in Parsha Noach, as the genealogy of Abram is being told to us, the first thing that we know about her is that she's an Akara, that she is barren. And you almost want to suggest, why do I need to know this very intimate piece of information, that she's barren? Maybe tell it to me afterwards, but why is it the first thing that is said? So I heard this from Rav Yitzchak Tversky, that what was Chava cursed with? Child labor. And yet, perhaps we can suggest that Sarah was not cursed, so to speak, because she was an akara. She could not have child labor because she could not even have children. And she would be the perfect person to be able to perhaps be a tikkun for Chava, and to be able to say that a woman's voice could lead her husband to a proper destiny, as opposed to Chava's voice that led her husband perhaps to a negative destiny. And so Sarah already starts planting those seeds and starts suggesting that perhaps it's the voice of a woman who recognizes that there is a greater calling, who recognizes that there is something more to do, to find a particular destiny, that she starts, and so Hashem says, no, Avraham, now is the time, Shema Bekola, listen to her voice. She gets it, she knows. And as she turns around that particular destiny, that then gets translated further on into the next Ima, Rivka. And Rivka has the same in tune ear to listen to a particular voice. But what is this voice? So what I'd like to suggest is that perhaps the voice of Rivka is actually her being able to hear what the voice of Hashem really is all about. If the voice, the first time we see it in Tanakh, comes in the story of Gan Eden as Hashem's voice, then as we look at the story of Parsha Toldot, we see that Yitzchak himself has lost the ability to hear that voice. If you look at the story back in source number one, it is Yitzchak's eyes who are dimmed. Yitzchak cannot see properly. Not only that, in his telling of his son that he is going to bless him, he does not mention Hashem. What does he say? Bring me food to eat so that I may bless you. And again, perhaps that parallel, that here the blessing will come from food, and that mirroring that of Gan Eden, where eating the food will bring upon curse, so again, maybe that tikkun. But look what Rivka says to Yaakov when she decides to intervene. What does she say? She says, Havia li sayid ve'aseh li mita'amim ve'ochela v'avarechacha lifnei Hashem lifnei moti. Yaakov, the time is now. Your father wants to bless before God. Yitzchak didn't say that. She added that. She had an in tune sense that this was Kol Hashem, that the echoes of what Hashem wanted was that Yaakov should be the son. Perhaps one could even suggest that earlier in the Parsha, when she's Lidrosh Hashem, when she goes to find out why there's so much ruckus going around in her womb, that she realizes from the nevuah that she receives that the younger will supersede the older. And so maybe she already has an inkling. She's already in tune. Her antenna is already up to hear that which Hashem wants. And she says, Shema b'koli, listen to my innermost voice, because my innermost voice is aligned with that voice, with that wanting of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu ultimately wants. And so it's not a coincidence that there are perhaps parallels between Gan Eden and the story of Parsha Toldot. But specifically, the Tanakh is trying to draw our attention and say, there once was a voice, the voice of God, that was not heeded to. And when that voice was not heeded to, it brought about klala, based on the action and choice of individuals such as Adam and Chava. But the stories never end. Ma'ase avo siman lebanim. We have the opportunity to revisit those choices. We have the opportunity to revisit those situations and to make better and to do better and to dream and to think about ways that we could go beyond, perhaps to make a tikkun of those messages. And so perhaps it starts with Sari Menu, where she uses her voice to tell her husband, this is not the proper influence for my son. We need to get rid of Yishmael and his mother in order for our son to be able to do what he needs to do. And that same voice continues to resonate into Rivka Imenu. And she herself knows that it's not Esav who is going to be the one to take the bracha. Although Yitzchak is taken by the fact that he is an Ish Sadeh, cunning, perhaps as the Nachash, who is Chayat HaSadeh. Perhaps it is his inability to know which son it is because he loves the food in which Esav provides for him. But Rivka knows that it's the food that is ultimately going to have to inspire him to make the right choice and not to be confused by the love of the food that he brings him, but rather the love of the right son in which to bless him. Perhaps it's Rivka who realizes that the first kol emanates from Hashem, and so she adds lifnei Hashem before God. That is who your father is going to bless, even though Yitzchak himself does not make that statement. And as we study the story, I think it's clear that what's interesting is that this voice continues to resonate on throughout the generations and throughout Tanakh. If you look at the next source, we're going to switch to number 12. We see that this idea of listening to a voice then reappears in Ma'amad Har Sinai. In Sefer Shemot, Perek Yutet, what does Moshe say? V'atam shamoa tishme'u b'koli, u'shmartem et briti, v'yitem lis l'sugula, mikol ha'amim, kilo kol ha'aretz. As we're about to receive the Torah, Hashem reminds us, if you listen to my voice and you guard that which we've made a treaty, you will be a treasure nation unto me. Although I didn't bring all the sources here, I will challenge you to go through Perek Yetet, and you will also find that there are 7 mentions of the word kol in regard to Ma'amad Har Sinai. And if that's not even convincing enough, when the story is retold again in Sefer Devarim, Al Pi Moshe, when we recount the story of Ma'amad Har Sinai, once again, we see 7 times the word Shema B'kol come up in regards to Torah. In source number 13, V'haya im shamoa tishma b'kol Hashem elokecha. If you listen to the voice of Hashem your God, l'shmor v'asos eskol mitzvosav, asher enochi mitzavcha hayom, unitnana Hashem elokecha elyon al kol goyei ha'aretz. Our success and our connection to Hashem is dependent on listening to that call that reverberates throughout generation and generation, that doesn't just stop with Chava at Gan Eden, but that continues on with Sarah, and continues on with Rivka. And I'll venture to say that if you look throughout Sefer Bereishit, you'll find Kol up again and again and again. We see that Kol come up then later on in Shmot with Ma'amad Har Sinai, and Ma'amad Har Sinai in the retold story in Devarim. And so Hashem is saying, Shema Bekoli, because it is God who plants that voice within ourselves, perhaps within our deepest, most innermost chambers of our hearts or of our souls, that we can listen to that which God wants us to do. God wants us to accomplish, to do His will. Ushmartem et mitzvosai v'torotai. Although not brought in here exactly on your source sheet as well, there are 2 other times that kol comes up in our parsha. One earlier in the parsha, where Yitzhak is told that Abraham was... He heeded to the voice of Hashem. And later on, we are going to see in source number 11 that as Yaakov meets Rachel for the first time, he raises his voice and he cries. Perhaps the parallel pasuk to that of his brother, Esav, who raises his voice and cries when he realizes that the bracha had been given. And so what is it about the kol here in this case? If you look right in source number 11, that Yaakov raises his voice and he cries when he meets Rachel, and Esav, when he realizes that the bracha has been taken away from him, and he cries, what's the connection, perhaps, of those cries, of those voices? And what I would like to suggest is that kol is the innermost sanctity of oneself. One listens to one's voice. Esav, perhaps at this moment, realizes that his destiny will no longer continue in the way that he might have thought or imagined. And so he raises his voice and he cries. While as Yaakov, as he listens to his mother and his father and runs to Lavan and meets up with Rachel, at that first encounter, why does he raise his voice and cries? Because he might realize that now his destiny is on a particular path. He is now meeting the woman that will continue his destiny, will continue his story. And that the kol implanted in him from his mother is now going to be found in this new relationship, in this new destiny that he finds himself in. And so the story continues of kol throughout all of Tanakh, and it would be impossible to hit upon all the different places. Yes? So it's a beautiful question. What kind of voice is this emanating from the mother? And is it the voice of a mother who feels that she can't have children and she calls out to Hashem? So that might be a particular voice that comes out in a way of tefillah. And there probably is definitely room in Tanakh to suggest such a thing. But perhaps the voice more importantly in the story of comparing Gan Eden and Parsha Toldot, can maybe be summed up by the following couple of sources. That we see later in Nach, that when Eliyahu Hanavi is standing at Har HaKarmel, and he himself does not know where to find God, because he's tried everything in order to find that which he can inspire the people to listen to the voice of God. What's interesting from these psukim is that source number 14, V'yomer Sei V'amadata Bahar Lifnei Hashem, he goes out and he stands before Hashem. V'nei Hashem over v'ruach gedolah v'chazak miparei karim. And so a big wind comes, and the wind does not hold God, although it's mishbarer talim lifnei Hashem, lo beruach Hashem. V'achar haruach rash lo barash Hashem. And in this loud noise, that's not where we find God. V'achar harash Eish, and after this noise, fire comes, Velo Be'eish Hashem, but it's not in the fire of God. Va'achar ha'eish, va'achar ha'eish, and after the Eish, what comes out? Kol Mamadaka. It's a silent voice. And that's where, perhaps, Eliyahu realizes that we can find Hashem. And it's in those Kol Mamadaka, it's in those silent moments, it's in those small voice in which Eliyahu is told by Hashem, don't look for the big, the loud, the things that everyone can hear, but rather the innermost sanctity of oneself, that the voice is able to emerge and able to come forward. There's a famous poem that is written by Shel Silverstein, a poet for children. And what he writes is a beautiful poem that says, there is a voice inside of you that whispers all day long. I feel that it's right for me. I know that this is wrong. No teacher or preacher, parent or friend, or wise man can decide what's right for you. Just listen to the voice that speaks inside. And although we all know our inner voices, and with quiet time, perhaps we can hear those inner voices strongly, there is a fascinating Midrash Rabbah in Shemot that I think really sums up what I think is going on in Parshat Toldot and with the idea of Kol and Rivka Imenu. There's a midrash that asks, what is the voice in which Hashem reveals himself to Moshe at the Sneh? And so the midrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is debating amongst himself. Should I use a loud voice, but I might scare Moshe? Should I use a soft voice, but then the voice might not be enough to really inspire Moshe to create and to do what I need him to do and to make him go along the mission? But rather, the Midrash says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the voice of his father, uses the voice of Moshe's father. And it's a fascinating idea to use the voice of Moshe's father, ironically perhaps because we know that Moshe and his father, we don't really know much about that relationship throughout Tanakh. But yeah, what I think the Midrash is trying to highlight is that there is a parental voice, that there is a voice that resonates in all of us, that stems from our parents, our ancestors, our teachers, those who came before us and shape our character as to who we are and who we want to be. And sometimes that is the most powerful voice. And so Hashem chooses the voice of his father to be able to inspire Moshe to say, go, be my leader, take the people out of Mitzrayim, be the person that I know you can be, because what resonates inside of you, listening to your neshama, listening to that of which your parents have instilled upon you, can then continue forward. And what I think the Midrash is so brilliantly pointing out is that perhaps we hear many voices. There's a lot of noise around us, many different influences, many different things. And as we find ourselves in crossroads, we don't necessarily know how to choose. Do we choose this option? Do we choose that option? But it takes someone like Rivka Imenu, who decides to intervene when she realizes that her husband is making the wrong choice, and that the son who should be chosen is not being given the opportunity, that she harnesses her inner voice, the voice, Kol Hashem, and she introduces the presence of Hashem in the bracha, and she says, it's time to act now. It's time to say that we are going to use action in order to then create a better destiny and to ensure a destiny into the child that I know should be inheriting the bracha. And that voice was the voice she inherited from Sarah. And that voice was the voice of Chava, although used negatively, taken around and being able to turn around the situation. Sarah fixes that voice. Rivka continues on that voice. And she instills that voice into her son Yaakov and in her son Esav. And particularly those psukim in our parsha, where Esav raises his voice and cries, perhaps at recognizing the lack of his ability to continue on the destiny and that he will not get the bracha, makes his innermost self come out and to cry. Versus Yaakov, when he meets Rachel for the first time, he realizes his destiny is just about to begin. And the innermost voice of his mother is ringing in his ear. Make the choices. Continue to bring Hashem. Follow Hashem's voice in all that you do. And those voices continued on as we stood at Ma'amad Har Sinai. And Hashem revealed to us, he revealed himself to us through his voice and through the kolot and through the various different charges of listening. Shema bekoli, Shema, listen. In my voice, Hashem says to us, following my Torah, following my way, that ultimately what we find is that us as a people, every single day, every single choice, have those voices inside of us, guiding us, leading us to making decisions, decisions that will ultimately shape and continue our future for Am Yisrael. And so it is important that as we study the stories of Tanakh, that we look to see which parallels are being drawn and for what particular reason. Perhaps the story of Toldot is paralleling the story of Gan Eden, because Gan Eden is the ideal. The Gan Eden is where man and God can live together with kolot that are clear, with charges that are important. And yet we know the story of Gan Eden takes a turn for the negative as Adam and Chava turn away from Hashem. But ultimately, the stories never truly end. And even our shortcomings and even our failures perhaps could even be fixed in later generations. And so Sarah comes along and takes her kol and makes the kol of her voice stand before Avraham and says, we need to make a change that will ensure the destiny of the Jewish people. And that reverberates throughout Rivka, who then uses her kol to then ultimately change around the path in which Yitzchak blesses and she intervenes. That kol is instilled in Yaakov. That kol, Yaakov, is instilled in his children, and ultimately his children who inherit the Torah, Ma'amar Har Sinai. And as we continue to learn the Torah, we continue to listen to those kolot. We continue to listen to those voices of our ancestors, of our parents, of our teachers. And as we face decisions and as we face choices, we look to our innermost voice and we do what we think is most best as we continue to learn and recognize what ultimately Hashem wants from us.